And we are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called Expose Yourself.
There's beauty to seeing more of others. It's kind of a mouthful, I know.
I understand.
That's
a lot of words
to say. But we are coming to you on the road. We are Nick Smith Podcast, still kind of wrapping up vacation. This is a travel day for us.
Yeah, so last time we were just starting. Like, literally had just started.
Yeah, just got to the hotel that day.
Yeah. And now we are just... Well, we're not really ending it because I think next week we won't be on the road, but we'll be getting on the road.
Yes.
Like, getting ready to go on the road.
Yes, a lot of traveling this summer for the Smiths.
Yeah, this month is full.
At least for this week and last week, sound quality's a little different, but we still want to bring you high-quality content. So today's episode... We are talking about exposure, and before any of you get any weird ideas, we're not talking about exposing yourself in any inappropriate way.
Yes, it's not exposing yourself to other people. It's exposing, well, wait, exposing yourself.
No, it's exposing, basically going around and seeing new things.
I mean, it is exposing yourself.
Being exposed.
There we go. Being
new experiences and new things.
But not being exposed
not
to
being
people.
Exposed, as in... You know, your nether regions. That's
not
what we're talking about.
No.
So anyway, what brought this about is we have been on the road and we've realized that seeing new things and doing new experiences really does change your perspective.
How do you do an experience?
By doing the experience. Listen, don't judge my grammar. It's been a long week. by experiencing an experience, that just sounds
very
weird.
Good. So you have an experience.
Let me say do, just any.
That's a new t-shirt.
Do
the experience.
Alright, so we've experienced this week that you can really change your point of view. And your worldview changes the more that you are exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
The more truth, the more people that you are exposed to. And I just came back from Bakersfield, California, which is one of the towns I grew up in. Grew up in a lot of towns, moved around a lot. But in Bakersfield, I remember there were people that lived in Bakersfield that had never gone to the beach. And the beach is only about an hour and a half from Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And how that changed their mindset, their worldview, how they weren't really exposed to anything different, anything new, outside of what they'd already experienced, which is just that same city they've been in. But one of the things that we understood from this trip was it's not just one town or one city. There are people everywhere that are kind of locked into their own little cliques, their own little niche, if you will.
Yeah.
And so we just wanted to talk a little bit about what we've learned from the exposure that we've had from other cultures and just some of the stuff that's come about.
Just in the years that we've been together, we have been to a number of states. We haven't yet traveled outside. We have been outside the country, but not overseas.
Correct.
But just in experiencing some of the different regions, even different climates, really changes your understanding of a culture and of a human existence. And we're not saying this to be... This isn't new agey.
No.
It's not like you need to broaden your horizons and expand the world. Like, it's not about opening your third eye. It's not that kind
I only
of...
I have two eyes. Just so
exactly.
You know.
So...
Sometimes four when I put on my glasses. But that's different.
But this really is a matter of getting outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Sometimes geographically. I mean, sometimes really taking that leap of faith... To go to a place you've never been, experience what is there.
Yeah.
And in America, I mean, we may think that everywhere in America is American because that's how we tend to look at things. But really, I mean, you can go just a few hours away from your hometown.
Heck, you don't have to go that far. You can go to the other side
of
town.
True.
And you experience something completely different.
Yeah.
A completely just changed lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's why mission trips... are so popular and important to some people because people get so caught up in their everyday lives, so caught up in just living their 9-to-5 and having their same little group of friends, going to church, being around their same little 12, 13, 14 people that they're around, they forget that other people exist. And those people that we see on the news, those people that we see overseas, are real people.
Yeah.
And that they have emotions, and they have value, and they have goals and dreams and aspirations.
Yeah. And what we forget in looking at those people, those other people, the other, is that humanity really is very similar. We all have, though we may paint it differently, we all do have similar goals and desires. We do want to be loved. We do want to be seen and heard and known. And that may look different to someone in Guadalajara.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I've never met anyone from Guadalajara.
But it's the same thing. It just manifests differently.
Yeah.
But you forget that when you are operating with those same people, day in and day out, same cultural values, the same language, the same way of dressing, the same way of eating. You forget that the rest of the world does not operate like I do or like I was raised. And for some people, for some of us, that is a point of fear.
Oh, yeah.
More than it is just a lack of awareness. It's like, well, I'm afraid of what I'll find out there in that big, vast expanse of the world or the country.
Yeah, it's crazy that you bring up fear because I remember when we lived in Burden, Kansas, which is another small town.
And shout out to Burden!
Burden was mad. there was someone we were talking to, and we would go into Wichita, which was about an hour drive. We'd go into Wichita quite often because mom was in a nursing home there, and that's where we went grocery shopping for big stuff.
Yeah.
We wanted to go to Costco. We hit Wichita. But I remember hearing someone in a conversation say, well, I'll never go to Wichita because, you could just get shot just driving down the street. You don't even have to be doing anything.
Right. And I grew up in Wichita, and I...
Have you been shot ever?
Never in my life in Wichita have I been shot.
I lived in Wichita for a while, and I don't think I've ever been shot either. Not that I'm aware of.
It does happen.
That I've been shot?
No.
I was unaware that I've been shot.
That happens anywhere.
No, there's violence all over the place.
Yes.
But her whole point was she had excluded an entire city that's filled with all sorts of awesome culture and rich things that she could experience. But instead of having empathy and curiosity and looking at the world through the lens of hope and joy and wanting to know more about the other, she cut that whole city off because of fear.
Well, and what that fear often is rooted in may be a glimpse or a sliver of truth because just like with most things, we may experience one instance of distaste or dissatisfaction.
Yeah, something scary.
And we then expand that. We apply that to the entire race or age group or gender
or geographic
location, and we misappropriate qualities about people based on one experience. And so sometimes that is a matter of, well, one time someone I know got shot.
Yes. Somebody I know got mugged. Somebody I know got robbed.
Right. So therefore, I don't ever go to that part of town, or I don't ever associate with that type of person, or I don't even deal with that culture because one time this thing happened. And that's fear as well, but it's rooted in a sliver of fact and truth and actual experience.
Which is where you get stereotypes from.
Hey.
Because stereotypes are generally rooted in some sort of factual experience. Something that happened that's a referent that people can stand by and say, oh yeah, I've seen that, or I've experienced that.
Yeah.
But then it's elaborated or it's expanded to include an entire grouping of people.
Yeah.
But do you know what kills stereotypes? Exposure.
Okay.
When you
that's
are
a good
exposed
word.
I know, it's weird. We should name an episode about it. When you are exposed to people that look different than you, when you're exposed to a culture that's different than your own, all of a sudden you start to see the diversity that's present within that subculture or within that other different culture. And you start to realize that the stereotypes and the fears, that all of these boundaries that you put in place in your mind in order to try to protect whatever it is, they're not founded in reality. There's a sliver of truth. But that sliver is lost in the depth and the richness of the culture that you find yourself in.
Yeah.
And so exposure is huge. And I think that people in rural culture, in city culture, in whatever culture they're in, they start to get in this rut, this comfort zone.
Yeah.
Where I think the way I think, I do the things I do, I like the things I like, and I don't like anything different. And the older you get or the longer that you've been in a certain area, the less likely you are to want to go and experience something different.
Yeah.
Something new. And new is fearful, and new is no longer exciting, but it's nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to go out and try new foods, because what if it gives me indigestion? What if that Indian food gives me heartburn?
Yeah.
Instead of just going and experiencing and just giving it a shot to see if maybe you can be exposed to something new.
Yeah.
And learn something, not only about another culture or another person, but about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it also becomes anxiety inducing.
Oh yeah.
Because the things you're describing, I'm just thinking of someone traveling and that anxiety, that little bit of fear turning into anxiety.
Yeah.
About, well, where am I going to eat? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And all of that just based on a lack of exposure.
Yeah.
Which also breeds ignorance, and we're throwing out all these words.
It's a lot of words.
But in truth, all of these things can be not fixed or removed, but can be addressed and can be helped by exposure to new cultures and new people and getting to know human beings for human beings. Like when we're traveling, just this past week, I mean, we saw so many people.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just walking through the airport, so many more people than we would see during the week.
Right.
In Plainville. And that's just because of the volume of people that are going through the airport every day. But looking at those people, so many times I thought, okay, that's a person. That's not an object.
That's not a token.
It's not a scarecrow.
Right, not a straw man.
That is a human being who has a destination, who has a path that they're on, trying to get somewhere, trying to go to some meeting, and they have a story. And I love people watching in the airport because you get to kind of experience a glimpse of someone's story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the blessing to sit with them or talk to them for any period of time, you may get to hear more of their story. But so often we are cut off from that because I don't know that person. I don't know what their motivation is. I don't know what their religion is. I don't know where they come from. Nor do I want to, because you know what? I'm okay with people that look like me and sound like me and dress like me.
Yeah, I'm okay with people from my area or people that I already know. I have enough friends. I have enough people.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite instances of people watching and kind of understanding that people are people was when we went to my nephew's graduation. My nephew, second oldest from my brother Darren, from the middle brother, graduated high school.
Yes.
And so proud of him right now, and he's got a lot of stuff on his plate looking ahead, you know, a lot of choices to make. But I remember when I was a kid in Bakersfield, it was a completely different mindset, because I was a teenager there and I was always not looking for trouble, but kept my eye open for people that were looking at me funny and trying to like be tough and all the stuff that kids do when they're young and stupid. But this time I'm there with my wife, I'm there with my children, I'm there with my family, and I'm looking around and I'm seeing other people my age who maybe when I was younger I would have had issues with, or maybe would have thought they were looking at me funny, but they've got kids and they're out there wrestling, and I'm seeing parents and their children.
Mm.
I'm seeing parents and grandparent relationships, and realizing people that don't speak my language, people that don't, well, some of them look like me even though we didn't speak the same language.
If you've seen Nick, you know that joke.
Yes, you know what that means.
It's really.
But seeing them going through the same struggles with their children that I go through with our children.
Yeah.
And seeing them have to deal with waiting on people and the frustration they felt, as I have to feel frustration when I wait for people.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm impatient and I'm dealing with that. The Lord's got me. But it was just an interesting dynamic to be like, wow, all these people from all these different areas and all these different cultures are all here to celebrate their graduate. And they're all here proud of that person, that whoever it is in their life, their child, grandchild, boyfriend, whatever, girlfriend, whoever it is in their life, they're here to celebrate them on this day.
Yeah.
And it was just cool to see that unifying point in our humanity.
Yeah, when describing that, actually, because sitting there, as you know, if you've ever been to a graduation, everybody wants to cheer for their kid or their friend or their sibling. Like, everybody wants to. And while we're hearing everyone else cheer, I'm sure all the mothers and fathers understand, if I don't get to hear my kid's name,
yeah,
if I don't get to hear, you know, I'm going to be so upset. Everyone's feeling that same thing as well, but everyone That's has right. that anticipation of, as soon as I see them, I'm going to just scream as loud as I can and cheer so that they know that I'm excited for them and I'm happy and proud for them. And that being the unifying factor,
yeah,
is, I believe, how it's going to be when we finally see Christ face to face. I mean, we're all going to come from these different backgrounds and we all have different things we're thinking of, probably have experienced the same frustrations on earth. But when we see the one we have waited to see,
when
we finally hear his voice, we are all going to be ready to scream and holler and just carry on like no one's business. And no one's going to be frustrated over whose name gets to be heard, because it's only going to be one name.
That's right. No one's going to care what the person standing next to them looks like.
Right. Because we're
what kind of town they came
right,
from.
Right. We're just so fixed on who we're there to see, who we're there to be with. And when you were describing that, I just had that picture of, like, that's what heaven's going to be like.
That's the kingdom right there. That's
everyone.
The image.
Yeah. So that was for free.
Thank you.
So,
God,
okay.
Yeah.
But you, okay. Talking about, our nephew. So one of the things we've noticed with this generation, which gets dogged on a lot, millennials and generation.
Know, it doesn't matter when you play this podcast, you can play it in 30 years.
It's still going to be true. Yeah, this generation. We're always down on the young people coming up, the ones graduating, the ones going to college. We're always down on them. But one of the things I've noticed, we've recognized, is this lack of motivation,
yeah,
the restlessness, the anxiety that gets put on them,
yeah,
to do something with your life. And we say, you can be anything you want, you can do anything. And we put all these choices before them. And because of this lack of exposure, yeah, so many young people are paralyzed. Because I could do anything and I could be anything, but I'm so afraid to go anywhere different from where I've been. I don't even know what I would do or who I would be.
Well, because it's not modeled for them.
Yeah.
See, what they have in front of them is they have the internet, right? And on the internet, you can see all of this stuff. And you only see highlights. Let's be real.
Highlight reel.
The highlights of what is going on in people's lives. And so,
yeah,
you see these people living their life and you see all this awesome stuff that everybody's doing. And all these cool possibilities, and you're like, oh, I could do that, or I could do this, or I could do that, or I could do this. But when you look around in your actual circle, all you know are oil workers, or all you know are people in the military, or all you know are people
Christians
out there selling drugs, or all you know are Christians, or all you know are the people you know.
Yeah.
And so there's this disconnect between what people say you're supposed to do, or what the world is supposed to be to you, and the possibilities you actually see presented to you.
Yeah.
And so you're like, yeah, I could go and do all these things, but I don't know anybody that's gone and become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is, you know, either A or B. There's only two options really for me.
Yeah.
And it's not true. It's a lie, but it's bred by a lack of exposure.
Yeah.
A lack of exposure to authentic people living out their lives in community in a way that shows you, hey, this is what a welder does, or this is how, you know, so-and-so lives their life and they're a chaplain in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Whatever. When you don't have that exposure, you don't have a different point of view. All you have is a theory and a highlight reel.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes from kind of the one-trick pony. Isn't that right? Is that the right word? One horse town?
No,
one-trick pony?
I don't know. You got to finish, and then I'll tell you which.
The one-trick pony horse.
Horse town. One pony,
but
and horse.
The idea that you have one thing that you can do. Like, that's your thing.
One-trick pony.
One-trick pony. Okay, so I was right.
You were right.
So we have this thought of, well, and I'm not downing on generational businesses or anything like that, but
no,
this idea that, well, everyone in my family has always been a fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So therefore I can only be a fill in the blank,
yeah,
and which is not true. We oftentimes cripple the young people coming after us by not teaching them that, hey, you can do more than one thing, or hey, you can be the first one in your family to do XYZ. You don't have to be the only one, or excuse me, you can be the only one who is moving in a different direction.
Yeah. But
and,
it takes exposure. And I think,
yes,
as parents, we have to be intentional about showing our kids different lifestyles. Like, again, there's nothing wrong if somebody takes over the family business.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I think when people feel like they're pigeonholed into a certain thing. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it's regional. Like where we live in northwestern Kansas, the oil field is huge.
Yeah.
Oil field and cattle are mm-hmm. two of the major industries up here. And so people think, well, I can either buy cows, I can go work in the oil field, work on a farm somewhere. But there, it's because there's a lack of exposure to other things. And so as parents, we have to be intentional about teaching our kids and showing them, getting them around people who do different things. Like if you're part of a church and you know someone who has an interesting job, maybe see if they'll talk with your kids, or see if they will come and talk to a Sunday school class. Or if you have friends that have different lifestyles than you, like they're single mothers and they work to feed their family, like expose your children to that truth and say, hey, sometimes families are broken, but listen, there's ways, there's hope in that.
Yeah.
You have to expose your children to differences so that they know that there's more than just one path.
Yeah, and I think taking it a step further or farther, which
further.
Is it? Further?
Metaphor
okay.
and distance.
Okay. Further. I mean, you could take a literal step.
You can actually move farther if you want, but okay.
Taking it a step further, aside from just exposing our kids to other career paths or lifestyles and cultures, mm-hmm. actually engaging with people
yes.
who are different and becoming friends with them.
That's
like,
so important.
I know that we say, like, in the kind of Christianese nowadays, there's this, like, doing life with people kind of thing. Let's do life with people. And that...
I'm doing life right now.
I mean, it's hard not to do life when you're alive.
Sometimes you just do life.
But I think what that touches on is being in relationship with people.
Yes.
Close proximity. Not just, oh, yeah, that guy, he works at the place I work at. That's yeah. not the same thing as having a relationship. Inviting people over for dinner. Going, I mean, if you live in an area, seriously, hear me on this. If you live in an area where there are multicultural festivals
yeah.
or parades, yeah. functions where you can actually go, especially if it's free, you can go and experience the food and the music and the art of a culture that is not your own. You need to go. And if you're not going, you need to kick yourself right now. You need to start going to those places where you can be the only one who doesn't look
like
or that looks like you. Wait, what are we saying?
What?
Be the only one who looks like you in the crowd and be okay with it.
Yes.
And don't be afraid of exposing yourself to more cultures and more people who can enrich your life.
That's right. There's this quote that I probably should have looked up by Mark Twain. And it goes something like this. He says, travel is an enemy to bigotry and hatred or something like that. I don't know.
It's like ignorance.
Ignorance. Oh,
there's also another quote. It says, don't believe everything you read on the internet. It's by Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. I actually talked to him about that the other day. He's mad they misquoted him.
Yeah.
But
poor guy.
What Mark Twain was getting at, even though I didn't do my due diligence, what he was getting at is when you travel, when you're able to travel, and again, it doesn't mean you have to have a lot of money and you have to go to different places that you've never been. Sometimes, again, it could be across town.
Yeah.
It could be just to the next town over.
Mm-hmm.
But when you travel and you actually engage with people and you start to build relationships with people that are not like you, it starts to combat your own prejudice, your own biases, your own ideas of what other people live like and look like and what it means to be a part of another culture.
Yeah.
It starts to really cut down on your small world.
Yeah.
It starts to break those walls down and expose you to the truth that humanity is a lot bigger than your small bubble.
Yeah.
It's a lot bigger than your inner circle.
Yeah. Well, and those opportunities that you're waiting for,
yeah,
that you are, you know, hoping for, that you're looking for in all these places that are around you are actually just outside of your bubble.
That's right.
Those opportunities for whether it's employment or relationship
yeah.
or satisfaction. I mean, you're looking for those manifestations of
joy,
which we know ultimately, for us at least, there's only one real source of that. But in this world, if you're looking for those things, they're not going to be on your block. They're not going to be just in the mirror. You're not going to find them landing in your lap, just sitting and doing the same thing every single day. You are going to have to go outside of what you know as comfort. You're going to have to step outside of that. That's where real opportunity lies.
That's right. And exposure and seeking opportunity looks a lot like vulnerability.
Oof.
And you have to be vulnerable in order to grow. And so anytime that you want to grow, you want to experience something new, you have to open up some part of yourself that may experience change, that may experience damage. Your ego may be damaged.
Yeah.
You may not be the coolest person on the block anymore.
Right.
Once you get outside of your little bubble.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We need that.
And
but again, like you said, you can't experience the opportunities that you've wanted by just waiting for them to show up at your door.
Yeah. And you may disappoint people in your life. You may have those who look at your desire to go beyond or to travel or invest in something that is not the norm for you. They may be disappointed.
Yeah.
And it's okay. We've talked about codependency before. It's really hard to relinquish that because it is such a comfort. It's such a comfort blanket for us. But it's okay to disappoint people when you are obedient to the calling that is on you.
That's placed on you. That's right.
And because there's a responsibility with that calling, we all have it. It exists for all of us. Those of us who can understand the calling, who can discern it, it's even greater. That responsibility becomes almost heavy on us.
Yeah.
And that vulnerability from the other side of it looks like, it looks scary.
Yeah.
Vulnerability looks scary. It looks like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so taxing on me. I'm never going to be able to move past it. But once you step on the other side of that, you realize how freeing that vulnerability is. You realize how wanting to be seen, which is a desire that we all have, and to be known, it really does give us freedom to know and see others.
That's right.
With that beautiful image of divine creation that every single person has. Yeah, what do we call
imago,
that?
Imago
Dei.
The image of God in each person. And that fear that's hindering you, that's crippling you, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear is always based on the possibility of what if. It's always based on this, well, what if I fail? What if I look stupid? What if people hate me? What if they all laugh at me? What if they put dirt in my hair? I mean, we have this...
That's a real fear, depending on who you're playing with.
You don't know.
Our 2-year-old had that issue before.
And you know what? She's put dirt in my hair before, and sometimes I don't want to play with it. But the fear that we see is all based on these what-ifs.
Yeah.
It's all based on this hypothetical situation.
Yeah, which I'll take to another level, is based on our desire to control.
I don't know nothing about that.
I know you don't. You have no idea what it's like to want to control things.
I always want to control things.
But really, like the what if is rooted in the understanding that I have no control. I know that I have no control, but I really, really want to have control. And so if I can hypothetically make all these scenarios where then I can step in and have the solution, I think I'm in control.
Even though I'm not.
Even though I ultimately know that I have zero control. It's a game that we play with ourselves because we want to be the sole divine creator who is sovereign
in our own little miniverse. Our miniverse. But what's cool about once you relinquish that control is then you find freedom.
Right.
Once you realize that you can't control anything, and then you have the freedom to step outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And to experience the world that's around you, because what ends up happening is we put ourselves in these little bubbles. And Christians, we're the worst.
Oh,
having these
come on.
Christian bubbles where we don't know any unsafe people and we don't know how to talk to people who aren't Christian. And how dare we even go and eat with those dirty sinners? forgetting that we're just as dirty.
Yeah.
We just hide ours better.
Yeah.
And so Christians, we can live in these Christian bubbles where we're so comfortable because we think we know what's going to happen. And thinking that you know the next thing that's going to happen breeds this idea of control, right?
Yeah.
And even if you don't like your current situation, there's this saying that I like. It says, the evil that I know is better than the good I don't.
Wow.
It's basically saying, even though I don't like the bad in my life, even though I don't like the boring. I don't like the mundane. I don't like the anxiety I feel. At least I know what to expect.
Yeah, it's predictable.
Yeah, it's predictable. And so therefore, I feel like I have control over this bad situation that I'm in, or over this mundane situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, I can take a step out. I can risk. I can go out and expose myself to something new. But even if that brings good, it's so scary, I'm not willing to do it.
Wow.
And so it breeds this weird control slash fear thing. But here's the thing, guys, just some practical application. Just do it. Nike said it best. the next good thing, the next right thing that you know you should do, start by taking small risks.
Yeah.
And I don't mean being reckless. This goes back to our last podcast about dreams,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're not talking about being reckless. We're talking about, okay, this is the direction I think my life should go. I want to experience something different. I want to see new things. I want to get to know cultures. I have biases and bigotry that I don't like in my life. And so I want to head in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how can I change my friend group? Is there someone in my workplace, someone at my school, someone at my job, someone in my community I can befriend that looks different than me?
Yeah.
That's a step in that direction to exposing yourself to new things.
Yeah. Well, something that I was thinking about was the sermon that we heard last week.
Yeah.
So we got to actually attend church service, which is so weird for us to go to a new church. But we got to go out to Isla Vista, California, to the Isla Vista Church.
Yes, if anyone from Isla Vista Church is listening.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey. And we heard a really wonderful message that was encouraging and convicting and all that good stuff. But one of the things he talked about was that Christian bubble.
Uh-huh.
And you address the people who are fearful or who know, like, okay, I need to step out. I need to do something more. But I want to talk to those of us in the church who think we know better, who think that, well, I know there's other cultures out there, and I know I'm aware that there are people who are different than me. And I have a general worldview that says not everyone does things the same way as I do, but I choose in my stubbornness, and I'm saying this from experience.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it out of condemnation. I'm saying it from experience. I choose in my stubbornness to continue in this path that I'm on because I am righteous. I know that I'm not like them.
XYZ.
XYZ. Us and them kind of mentality. So one of the images that this the preacher gave was of the stream. He was talking about Psalm 1, and he talked about the stream and how the stream, which is the Lord, we know that he is that flowing river of life, is moving. And he talked about the Nile River. Was it the Nile River? Right. So if you look at pictures of the Nile River from space, you can't really see the water. It's actually impossible to see it. But what you do see is the life around it.
Yeah.
So for those of us who think we're planted by the water,
mm-hmm.
and we think, well, because I am, I'm righteous, and you know, I understand the world's different, but I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge that and say, I don't think you really could point out the life around you.
Ooh, that's good.
I don't know that with that mindset, you really are planted by the water.
Yeah.
And for those of us who have been there, who know what it's like to walk in that, we have to repent of that. We have to be willing to go out and point out where the life is to others.
Yeah.
We can't just be the ones who think that, well, because I am in the church, I'm baptized, I'm saved, XYZ, that therefore I'm planted by the water. So what more do I have to offer? No, we are supposed to go out by the streams of living water and tell others where the life is, and how will they know if we don't point it out to them? And for those who are listening that I'm not a believer, I don't really know what you're talking about, streams and Psalm 1 or whatever, here's the thing. The best advice I guess we could give practically for you is go where you see life happening. Go where you are attracted to the movement and the good and the kindness and compassion that is being shown, because that will lead you to the stream of flowing water. It will lead you where you're supposed to be. But
if the church is doing her job, that will lead you right into the arms of Christ, because those streams of living water, all the things that we find in culture that are good, we see people that are compassionate that are not believers, and we're like, well, they're compassionate without Christ. We don't understand that it's only the Christian understanding of compassion that underpins mm-hmm. what we know compassion to be.
Yeah.
And so it's only once we get to that bedrock of seeing what Christ did for us on the cross that we understand all that is good.
Yeah.
We understand what is righteous.
And, yeah.
For those of you who are not believers out there, if you're listening, first off, thank you for listening
yeah.
this long.
Seriously.
This many episodes and also this long into this episode.
Yeah.
But all we can say is that there is joy and there is life in Christ. And if you look around, you can see where he is moving.
Yeah.
You can see where he is doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And just follow where he leads.
Right.
And you know what? For Christians, non-Christians alike, if you're following Christ, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be vulnerable.
Come
and
on.
You're going to feel exposed
mm-hmm.
as you are experiencing or exposing yourself to something new that Christ
yeah.
has for you.
But in every instance of that, there will be a blessing. There will be good that comes from that. There will be more for you to experience that will lead you into the next thing. So
that's right.
We hope that this has given you a dose of some real life from our experience.
We hope that you experience something in this podcast that has shed some light on what exposure can do to eliminate fear in your life and also help you see the opportunities that are presented to you.
Yeah.
And so if you have any comments or questions,
yeah.
make sure to reach out to us on social media.
Yes.
You can comment on our Facebook page, on Instagram, on what else are we on?
Twitter.
And eventually we will be coming with YouTube. So that is
yes.
coming down the line. If you
yes.
want to help with that, if you want to help us educate, entertain, and empower people and share our real life No Myth, you can donate. You can buy something from our store at NickSmithPodcast.com, or you can become one of our Patreon supporters.
Yes.
And so please look for ways you can help us on our mission, and you can share this opportunity that God has given us with others.
Yes. So this is the Nick Smith Podcast from the road.
From a vacation.
From vacation time.
We hope that you've experienced a dose of real life.
No myth. Be blessed.